Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone. Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
And good afternoon and welcome to the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. A lot coming your way here in the Red Zone as we're going to continue to break down the Chiefs draft class. We are to the Alabama portion of things, which, of course, is Javier Arenas, cornerback, second-round pick, the second of two second-round picks for the Kansas City Chiefs in this 2010 draft class. Also, Cameron Sheffield, outside linebacker, defensive end from Troy. We'll evaluate him as well. We'll do that with Johnny Franks, WUMP, Huntsville, Alabama, man who covered him, which is what we've been doing all along, the guys who covered these players in college, giving us the breakdown of what they saw, what Chiefs fans can expect as they graduate on to the next level. We'll do that with Johnny Franks coming up in our next segment. A little bit later on, we'll talk to Brody Croyle, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, as well as we kind of keep it all in the Alabama family. Mm-hmm. Crimson Tide, Brody Croyle, Alabama Crimson Tide, and we'll talk about a couple of Alabama kids, at least college-wise. Javier Arenas from Florida originally, but an Alabama Crimson Tide, Javier Arenas and Cameron Sheffield from Troy, who we'll break down in our next segment with Johnny Franks, WUMP, Huntsville, Alabama. Let's talk a little bit about the selection of Javier Arenas. Some people saying Arenas is a guy that you hope he can be a corner, be a nickel corner only, that being a starter, probably not big enough, maybe not fast enough, but has good punt return potential. An outstanding punt returner, one of the best in the country. This goes along with what we talked about with Dexter McCluster last week. He has big play abilities, go-the-distance abilities, every time he touches the football in the return game. So that is obviously going to be a part of the equation, which, keep in mind, when you're drafting a player, it gives you really two chances to hit on him. If he would go on to be one of the great kick returners, if you got Josh Cribbs with this pick, you're not going to complain. You'd say, hey, that's an impact guy, a guy who makes plays that change the football game. If you get Josh Cribbs and a guy who can be a nickelback, you're not going to complain. If you get a starting corner and a guy who can return, you're not going to complain. In fact, you're going to be thrilled if you get a starting corner and a guy who's an excellent kick returner. And if you only get a starting corner and the return game doesn't figure into it, you're going to be happy with that. So you've got multiple ways that you can hit on this pick if you're the Chiefs in going after Javier Arenas. And a couple of things that I think are of note here when you evaluate Javier Arenas and his selection. One, the reason why some people didn't have him going in the first round, even though he was as productive as anybody at the cornerback position at the college level, is because of his lack of ideal height. Chiefs list him at 5'9". I've seen some people say he's not quite 5'9" tall, but he is a stout 197 pounds, so you've got a guy that is certainly well-built and willing to support the run. And let's look at the history of Scott Pioli. We've talked about this, and we did talk about it when it came to Eric Berry and the Chiefs drafting a safety in the first round. We evaluated and reviewed the history of Scott Pioli drafting safeties, but let's review the history of Scott Pioli drafting corners. And we touched on the idea of a corner in the middle rounds. Maybe we didn't think it would be as high as the second round. We thought rounds 3, 4, 5 would be distinct possibilities for the Chiefs to go corner in this draft because of the success. That has been a sweet spot for Scott Pioli in the draft. Broke down every defensive back that Scott Pioli has taken in his tenure with the New England Patriots and now with the Chiefs. 10 years, or really, I guess, 11 years now of calling the shots on the draft. And two stand out previous to Javier Arenas. There are a number of guys that have contributed, like his last year in New England. Terrence Wheatley and Jonathan Wilhite are still a part of the New England Patriots defense and still have time. They're in the 08 draft class, the last one Pioli headed up for the Patriots. Still have time to emerge and become a bigger part of their defense. But two guys really stand out in the drafting of corners by Scott Pioli. If you go back, and I'll even throw in a third, I'm going to throw Eugene Wilson in there as well. Asante Samuel was a fourth-round pick out of Central Florida in 2003 and has been one of the better corners in the NFL. And what's interesting about him? Not the biggest guy. 5'10", 185 pounds, but has been an outstanding corner. Was an outstanding corner with the New England Patriots. Now is an outstanding corner with the Philadelphia Eagles. In fact, in his career, 35 interceptions covering the last 7 years, including leading the league in 2006 with 10. And again last year, leading the league with 9 interceptions. He's returned 4 of his 35 career interceptions for touchdowns. He has been a big play player in his career. An outstanding corner, and again, not your ideal height and weight. Listed at 5'10", 185 pounds. Ellis Hobbs, also very similar. Ellis Hobbs taken by Scott Pioli when he was running things in New England with a third-round pick in the 2005 draft class. Almost the exact same size as Javier Arenas, 5'9 and 195 pounds, and he's been a very good punt returner. He's returned 3 punts for touchdowns. He is a big play guy that in his career, 3 kickoffs for touchdowns. In fact, in his career, averages 27-plus yards per return. So he gets the return guy. Again, he has 2 chances to hit when he goes out and drafts Ellis Hobbs. He gets the return guy. He's been very productive in his career, included a year, his final year in 08 in New England, where he had 1,281 yards of return yardage, averaging 28.5 yards per return, but also a guy that can really play the cornerback spot. Not as pronounced in the interceptions, but a guy that the Philadelphia Eagles, and again, clearly a pipeline from New England to Philadelphia, Ellis Hobbs making his way over to the Philadelphia Eagles. 2 guys that were drafted by Scott Pioli that have been very productive at the corner spot. Both of them, not first-round picks, not top-10 picks, but guys that played like top-10 picks. Asani Samuel, 4th-rounder in 03, continues to play at a high level, and Ellis Hobbs, 3rd-rounder in 2005. And you can really even throw in Eugene Wilson, who was a corner at Illinois, 2nd-round pick in 2003. Now, the Patriots moved him over, and he played safety, started in their Super Bowls in 03 and 04 at safety, but a 5'10", 200-pound corner. Again, the knock on him was maybe he didn't tick the fastest 40, maybe wasn't the ideal size, but a very productive football player, very productive draft pick for Scott Pioli, and productive football player for the defensive coaching staff, which, of course, included what is now the defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs in Romeo Crennel. Javier Arenas, 5'9", 197. Not ideal height. He lasted the 2nd round, but certainly ideal production out of the cornerback spot. We'll see if he is the next one. He's the highest drafted. Remember, coming out of the draft, you know, more is thought, you know, following the draft and before they play NFL football, just based on where they were taken, more is thought of Javier Arenas than was thought of Ellis Hobbs and was thought of Asante Samuel. Now, just because Samuel and Hobbs had great production does not mean that Javier Arenas will have great production. But if you look at the corners that he's taken, Antoine Harris in the 6th round, Leonard Myers in the 6th round, Brock Williams in the 3rd round, Asante Samuel in the 4th, Eugene Wilson in the 2nd, Christian Morton in the 7th, Ellis Hobbs in the 3rd, Mike Richardson in the 6th, Jonathan Wilhite in the 4th, Terrence Wheatley in the 2nd. Now, Donald Washington with the Chiefs last year, and Javier Arenas this year, you figure out of Washington and Arenas, if he keeps drafting corners, eventually he's going to have a couple of hits like Asante Samuel, like Ellis Hobbs. Hobbs out of Iowa State playing at a higher level than Central Florida. That's the key, is he's got a game plan. He knows what he's looking for at the cornerback spot, and he has hit on some really big hits. If you get quality starting corners at rounds 3 and 4, and you can put them on the field playing on those rookie contracts, that is a huge cap saver. Hundreds of thousands of dollars for guys that play like multimillionaires gives you that money to spend someplace else in the cap environment. Yes, no salary cap this year. We figure eventually when a deal gets done to return to the cap environment, that is huge. We'll see if Javier Arenas is the next corner in that line. And don't forget about Donald Washington. Chiefs played him at safety some last year. Maybe that's going to be his move. Maybe he'll follow Eugene Wilson over to the safety spot and end up being a starting safety. But you do not throw away a draft class 1 year later. Sometimes it takes a 2nd or 3rd year for a guy to really put it all together. We've heard Todd Haley several weeks ago saying year 3 is really what he thinks is the make or break year for players. Donald Washington enters year 2, last year's 4th-round pick out of Ohio State. We'll see if he's ready to hit the ground running. And we'll see if Romeo Crennel is able to connect better with Donald Washington than perhaps the previous coaching staff was able to do. We'll take a break. When we come back, we talk to the man, Johnny Franks, from Huntsville, Alabama, who covered Javier Arenas. He's next here in the Red Zone.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster. The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, They'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback, and a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com. Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster.
Welcome back here in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a busy Wednesday. That is when we're live each and every week here in the Red Zone. We're going to talk right now about one of the Chiefs' higher draft picks, Javier Arenas, cornerback out of Alabama, now taking part in the OTAs right now going on at Arrowhead Stadium. We're going to talk to Johnny Franks, WUMP in Huntsville, Alabama, covered Javier Arenas in the Alabama Crimson Tide football team. Johnny, how are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the legacy or at least the lasting memories of Javier Arenas is for the Alabama fans.
Well, I mean, obviously he was a leader on the field and off the field as well. I mean, think about what they as a team accomplished the last 2 years. We're talking about unbeaten in the last two regular seasons, 24-0 mark, and of course the reigning national champions. And when you've got somebody like that used to winning, that is a great attitude to bring into any locker room.
Yeah, and absolutely, character is a big issue when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, and especially with this draft. And every one of their high draft picks that they took, they spoke very highly of the character of the individual. Is he, you know, is Javier Arenas a guy that you feel like, look, you build a team around, he's going to be buying in on every level that a coaching staff would want him to?
Well, and plus, you know, I love it when players like a Javier Arenas type, you know, things weren't always going his way out of high school. You know, he wasn't that heavily recruited, and he almost quit the team back before Coach Saban got there. And it was one of those situations where it's like, look, you stay here, I will make you a player. And I think that's one thing, especially on the defensive side, and even particularly in the secondary, because that's the area that Coach Saban also coaches. You know, these players are, when they played their time at Alabama under Coach Saban, they're ready at the neck for the next level.
And what was it? Was it just playing time? Was that his frustrations? Because we've heard that story, and everybody says there's nothing to it. But what was he frustrated? Was it about getting on the field?
I think not just getting on the field, but I think being accepted as a player, too. Not, you know, a lot of times he got put into that category of just being a kick returner. And look what happened. I mean, by the time he was done, not only can he do that well, he's one of the best defensive backs in all in college football these past couple of years.
What about his size? I mean, if there's something they knock on him, we'll get to his return ability here in a little bit. But if there's a knock, he's not the ideal size. A lot of teams now looking for right at 6 foot, 6'1". He's only 5'8" tall, but he's stoutly built. Height ever a problem for him there at Alabama?
Well, here's the situation. I mean, he's going up against the best of the best in college football, and he shows up in big games. And if somebody can do that at the college level, whether it's the top teams in the SEC or Texas, for example, in the national championship game, if you can show up in games like that, then you can play at the next level.
And I think too much gets listed. I've talked to one personnel director who used to keep a ruler in his desk, and then he would bring it out and he'd say, okay, if the guy were 5'10 or 5'11, would you love him?
Well,
absolutely. He'd be a first-round draft pick, and he'd take out the ruler, and he'd show 3 inches on the ruler. And he'd go, so this is it? This is the difference between us taking him and not taking him? And there's more to it than just your height. You know, how long are your arms? And they measure all this. How long are your arms? How big are your hands? Your ability to,
right,
you know, do all that. All I know is watching, you know, Alabama's on TV plenty, even up in these parts. This kid made big plays.
Look at all the great players who were not drafted. Look at the fact that Tom Brady was drafted in the 6th round. Look at the fact that Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf, which guy do you take with the overall number 1 pick? I mean, it's not an exact science. You're going to make mistakes. But I will say this about Javier Arenas. I mean, here's a guy I think that is ready to play. As long as he stays healthy, I think he will have a very productive career for you guys.
And the New England Patriots, with Scott Pioli calling the shots, did a great job at taking corners in middle rounds, even later than Arenas. You know, this to me is one of the higher picks that we've seen Scott Pioli take a cornerback at. So if he thought that much of Arenas, you know, we're talking about a guy who drafted Asante Samuel and Ellis Hobbs and guys that have been very productive NFL players that were, again, just a little bit undersized, but clearly part of one of the better defenses year in, year out in the National Football League. I'll tend to defer to the guy who's had success at picking those type of guys in the future. Have you ever had a chance to talk to Nick Saban or heard him discuss how much, you know, having been a D coordinator in the NFL as well as college football, how much they scale back, have to scale back because of the limited practice time and just the younger age that they have in college football as far as, because on paper, Saban coming from, you know, being a defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick in Cleveland and Romeo Crennel being the defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick in New England, you would think, okay, these defenses should match up pretty good. It should be easy for Arenas to make that transition. The question is how much more, is going to be on his plate now that he goes from whatever practice time is available at college versus the pros.
Let me just say what I've noticed about Coach Saban and his staff. You know, first of all, he teaches the players how to teach themselves as well. You know, coaches can only do so much. There also has to be a part inside you that you want to have the desire to learn. And it's to the point where, you know, just like, for example, Rolando McClain, who's now with the Oakland Raiders. I mean, not only did they know their position, but they knew other spots as well where they could fill in here or there. It's almost like these leaders on defense that Bama has produced over the past 2 or 3 years under Coach Saban, it's to the point where it's almost like a reflection upon him on the field, coaches on the field, per se. You've always heard that description, and I think that's exactly what you're getting in the Javier Arenases of the world.
Well, you mentioned Rolando McClain. We'll have a little sidebar on him. He was a name that was thrown around as a possibility for the Chiefs. What kind of pro do you think he's going to be?
Oh, I think he is an outstanding pick. And here's a guy that doesn't want to be second best or third best. He wants to be the best. And I think when I saw what the Raiders did, yeah, some people may have said that he went a little too high. But to me, when you have an impact player like that, I think the Raiders got a wonderful pick there. But back to the Kansas City Chiefs, you have to grip. One of the things that's going to be a plus for Javier Arenas and also the other individuals of this draft class is the fact that, you know, looking at what the Kansas City Chiefs have done off the field in the offseason, not just with the draft, but everything else as well. I mean, almost every publication out there has picked the Kansas City Chiefs, if not the best, certainly one of the top 2 or 3 best teams as far as what they were able to do in the offseason moves.
Yeah, and I think Chiefs fans, we are certainly very pleased with what the offseason's been and what it might hold. There's still time for acquisitions to be made.
Right.
And, of course, we don't like hearing that McClain's going to be a great player since he's going to be squaring off against the Chiefs 2 times a year. But
we'll
live with it. Hopefully nobody else around him is a good player. That's what we'll hope down in these parts. Arenas as a returner. I mean, that's a spot that to me is just instincts. Either you're you're a good kick returner or you're not. His instincts, according to the awards, he's the best that has been in college football for the last few years. Is he the best you've seen down in those parts?
I tell you what, I never want to put a tag like the best, but I tell you what he has done. I mean, every time he touched the ball, you just thought that he had a chance to break it. And it's one of those things where he's got a little bit of an ego, which is good. You need that in a player that, as you pointed out, I mean, it's not easy to return kicks when you're putting your – it's usually you're looking up, catch the ball, and there's somebody right in your face. You need somebody that has the confidence to be able to deliver week in and week out, and that's the kind of player you're getting in Javi Arenas.
We're talking to Johnny Franks, WUMP, Huntsville, Alabama, as we continue to break down the Chiefs draft. We're talking about Javi Arenas, kick returner, punt returner, and a guy that just had a phenomenal career at Alabama. Any more players like this at Alabama you can send our way?
Well, you know, the funny thing about it, you know, despite the fact that Alabama lost so many players in the draft, that they're thinking from people's perception, there's going to be a reason why Bama is going to be picked number one to repeat as national champions. And it's because all these individuals that still saw a lot of playing time behind these guys that got drafted. And some will argue that this defense may not miss a beat at all. You've got a Dante Hightower who is just like a Rolando McClain, who missed most of the season due to a knee injury, and he has fought hard. And it's that kind of attitude where, you know, he was on the sidelines watching his teammates walk off the field as champions. And, yes, he contributed first part of the year, but he wants to be able to enjoy that same benefit. And I think that will go a long ways in 2010 for Alabama, knowing that you have a person like that who is hungry and wants to experience it himself as a player walking off the field as the final seconds are ticking down as a national champion.
All right, one more subject on Alabama before we move to Cameron Sheffield from Troy, and that is Mount Cody. He was a guy that a lot of people in Kansas City thought could be a good fit for the Chiefs in that second round. The Chiefs didn't go there. The Baltimore Ravens did. The weight issue, battling his weight, is obviously going to be one of the big issues with him. What kind of pro do you think he's going to be?
Well, it's funny because I was lucky enough to be an honorary coach, media coach, for the Alabama's A-Day game, and this was the weekend prior to the draft. And I was looking over to my right, and I noticed Terrence Cody sitting on the sidelines, and I noticed one Ozzie Newsome there having discussions with Terrence Cody, and it wasn't one of those keep your head up. I really felt at that point watching that interaction that, Baltimore Ravens, Terrence Cody. It really boils down to how much Terrence Cody wants it. And what I mean by that, he has to stay hungry, not for food, but the desire to be
right.
That great player. And, you know, look what happened to Jamarcus Russell, you know, the quarterback from LSU, went to the Raiders, got all the money, but he never could duplicate his success at LSU on the football field. A lot of times it boils down to the player, and as long as he remains hungry, wants to prove other people wrong, be a productive NFL player, it's all up to him.
All right, let's talk about Cameron Sheffield, outside linebacker, going to be an outside linebacker, it looks like, with the Chiefs, played D-end at Troy. First of all, Troy, how much interest in Troy football is there around the state of Alabama?
Well, I tell you what, you know, the pecking order is obviously Alabama and Auburn, but Troy has made a lot of noise, you know, some big wins in their program over the past decade after they moved up from the old 1AA level. And, you know, a couple years back, they played LSU very, very tough, had a huge lead on them and allowed LSU to come back in the second half to win a game like that. So Troy is, you know, they're playing some strong competition, maybe not on the week-in, week-out basis, but they're not afraid to play teams out of the SEC. And so you do have an individual there that has gone up against some of the best players in the country. And once again, here's a guy I'm sure will he's in a situation where not a lot is expected out of him. People go, Troy, what's this all about? I think it's things like that, those intangibles, that can make a player hungrier to not only win a slot on the roster, but also be very productive on the field as well.
Yeah, and that's one of the things you hope. You know, we hear a lot of people talk about, oh, you got to draft the linebackers. You're playing a 3-4, you got to draft the linebackers. And then you look around, some of the best guys, particularly on the outside, are not first-round draft picks. I mean, you think Derek Thomas was a great player
right. In
a 3-4 here. He went number 4 overall, obviously from Alabama. LT from North Carolina went number 2 overall. But lately, you know, Joey Porter was a second-round pick. Lamar Woodley in Pittsburgh was a second-round pick. James Harrison of the Steelers wasn't even drafted. You know, Mike Vrabel played very well in this system for the Patriots, and now with the Chiefs, He was, I believe, a third-round pick out of Ohio State that sat the bench for a few years in Pittsburgh before getting an opportunity to get on the field with the Pats. So while people have this perception that, boy, you got to go draft these pass rush specialists and you got to take them high, there are a lot of diamonds in the rough. I mean, James Harrison came from Kent State and wasn't even drafted. Cameron Sheffield is, coming into the draft or coming out of the draft, more is thought of Cameron Sheffield than was thought of James Harrison when he was coming out of college. So it doesn't mean he's going to be better than James Harrison, but it does mean that he's shown something on tape that he's thought to be worthy of a draft pick. It'll be interesting to see, and I'm with you. I think the work ethic is going to determine a lot. How much he works in that defensive scheme will be big for Cameron Sheffield here with the Kansas City Chiefs. We're talking to Johnny Franks, WUMP, in Huntsville, Alabama, covered the Crimson Tide as well as Troy and Auburn college football as we continue to break down the Chiefs draft. Before I let you go, Johnny, I'm going to give you our final four quickies. You just tell me the first thing that pops into your head, and I'll start with this. Does Nick Saban walk on water?
Some people may argue that he does.
Yeah. I mean, you can't be more popular than him, can you?
I put it this way. I'm sure it'd be very nice to walk in his shoes and be able to go to the bank every once in a while and check your bank account.
Yes, it would. And the people of Alabama pretty fired up, and for good reason. As you said, the team looks really good here for years to come as long as he's running the show there. All right, should the SEC expand? There's a lot of talk about the Big Ten expanding, and that if they do, the SEC, Pac-10, they could all follow suit. Should the SEC expand?
I think it all boils down to if the Big Ten expands, I think the SEC cannot just wait around. I think if Big Ten moves, SEC will be in position to start making moves of their own.
Is that a big topic around those parts?
Yes, it has been. But they're playing the wait-and-see game, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a situation now where the SEC is happy with the 12 teams that they have in there right now. But believe me when I say that the Commissioner Mike Slive and the SEC, they're not just going to wait and watch all these other conferences make up ground on them. Because, you know, the SEC feels like, indeed, they're the best conference in all of college football, and they do not want to lose ground to any conferences across the land.
All right. Who's the NFL team that is followed down there?
The Tennessee Titans. Of course, I'm a big longtime Jets fan, back to the days of Joe Namath, but right. The Tennessee Titans is the big team.
Okay, and is there a lot of NFL interest there, or no? Is it pale in comparison?
It certainly pales in comparison. I mean, this state revolves around Alabama, Auburn 365 days a year. I mean, you literally could talk Alabama, Auburn football every day of the week.
Wow, amazing. Finally, we're going to talk to one of your own, Brody Croyle, coming up here in a little bit in the red zone. What's Brody Croyle's legacy down there?
Well, I think he certainly fits that mode of a lot of the quarterbacks from Alabama in the sense, you know, Alabama has certainly had a lot of success at that position, and he's certainly just another member of that proud family. I mean, Bama has been blessed not only with the tradition of winning, and, you know, it dates back way before Coach Bryant had, arrived back to his alma mater. I mean, the legacy is strong. I mean, when you start talking Brody Croyle, you can also start thinking about Joe Namath, Kenny Stabler. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of great players.
Yeah, they do still, I'm sure this is true. Most Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, I mean, with three, I don't believe any other school could have more than Namath, Stabler, and Starr.
That's right. Very good point. And the funny thing is about Bart Starr, his senior year at Alabama, he got benched because of a youth movement. And, of course, that coach ended up getting fired.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show you right there.
Yeah, it is amazing. Hey, Johnny, great stuff. We really appreciate the time. Thanks so much. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you down the line.
I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank.
Strong roots.
Endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans. I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365 and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in red-hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You are in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you. Our thanks to Johnny Franks from down in Huntsville, Alabama, giving us the breakdown on Javier Arenas and Cameron Sheffield from this year's draft class for the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought great insight into Arenas, as good a player as you're going to find, and of course insight into the passion of the Alabama football fans. We'll talk to another Alabama alumni, Brody Croyle, coming up here in our next segment, the backup quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Speaking of quarterbacking, what does it take to be a Super Bowl quarterback? You know, a good yardstick, if you ever want to do some research on football, and if you're listening to the Red Zone, you figure to be more than a casual football fan, and probably someone that likes to dive into the minutia, the numbers, the real marrow of the NFL season, then you want a good yardstick or a good marker on how far back to go. There's lots of different ones. You know, the Super Bowl era is a very good one. Go back 44 years. You've got the history of the NFL since they've been playing a Super Bowl to award their champion. Another one is to go back to 2002. And 2002 was when the NFL expanded into four divisions of four in each conference. Eight divisions of four overall, 32 total teams. It's the current format. It's when the NFL got to 32 teams. It's when four division champs went to the playoffs and two wild cards as opposed to the 3-3 before it. So it gives you, you know, it's the biggest snapshot or the most concise snapshot of the history of the NFL in the current setup. So let's take a look back at Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. What does it take? We bring this up as we're going to talk quarterbacking with Brody Croyle here in a minute. We bring this up to see how close are the Chiefs at the quarterback position. Now, the quarterback spot varies as far as the production you get from it and winning the Super Bowl. Now, if you don't remember, the Super Bowl champions in this time, 2002 moving forward, the Bucs with Brad Johnson, the Pats in 03 and 04 with Tom Brady, in 05 the Steelers with a 23-year-old Ben Roethlisberger, the Colts in 2006 with Peyton Manning, 07 the Giants led by Eli Manning, the Steelers again with Roethlisberger in 08, and then this past season, Drew Brees in 2009. Those are the guys that we've basically taken a snapshot and formulated an average of. One thing that's interesting is five of the eight all started 16 games. One of them that didn't was Brees, who started 15 last year, who they benched just to keep healthy at the end. Next, of the two that didn't, Brad Johnson played in 13 games. Ben Roethlisberger played in 12. He had just taken over the year before as a rookie as the starting quarterback and had some injuries that year. But for the most part, nobody played in four or five games. You know, six of the eight played in 15 or more, and it would have been six of the eight played in 16 had the Saints needed that final victory to assure themselves either a spot in the playoffs or seeding in the playoffs. So clearly an indication that you need to be healthy. All right, then the next part of the equation is completion percentage. And let's just go over what the average quarterback looks like. 62% completion, throwing for 3,500 yards, 24 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. And that quarterback, that average Super Bowl winning quarterback, is sacked 26 times on the year, has a sack percentage of 5.2%. In other words, only 5% of the time he drops back to pass is he sacked. Only 26 times overall. That's clearly about a sack and a half per game. He doesn't go untouched, but he's not getting sacked 40-plus times a game, which will compare to what Matt Castle's season was last year with the Chiefs, as well as Matt Castle's season in 08 with the New England Patriots. So, you know, how much do you have to throw for? Do you have to live and die by your quarterback's arm? Not really. Brad Johnson barely topped 3,000 yards as a passer. Again, he only started 13 games, which means that he was on pace for 3,600 yards passing had he started them all. The norm, 3,300 for Eli Manning, 3,300 for Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger also had a 2,300-yard season when he only started 12 games. The average is 3,500 yards passing for the quarterbacks, with a high watermark of 4,397. We'll call it 4,400 from Peyton Manning, and a low watermark of an injury year where there are four games missed of 2,400 yards. This, I thought, was even more telling. Touchdowns. How many touchdowns, how many big plays, or at least plays in the end zone, does your quarterback have to make? The average is 24 touchdowns. I found that a little bit low. I would have thought that your starting quarterback in the Super Bowl would have needed to produce upwards of 30 touchdowns. I would have known that guys had gone there for less. Would have thought Ben Roethlisberger would have been a good candidate with the fine defense the Pittsburgh Steelers had and Brad Johnson being the other one. But I thought the number would have been a little bit higher. What is the high watermark for a Super Bowl champion quarterback? It's 34 by Drew Brees last year. Before that, it's Peyton Manning with 31. In fact, those are the only two quarterbacks to throw for 30 touchdowns and win the Super Bowl. Now, do we draw from that? If you're a really good quarterback, you hurt your team's chances, or if you throw a lot of touchdowns, you hurt your team's chances? No, and the New England Patriots didn't make the Super Bowl when Tom Brady threw for 15 touchdown passes, but it means that it's not the end-all, be-all in a team winning the Super Bowl. Look, he's got to make good decisions. We've got a 24-12 TD to INT ratio, which means it's basically 2-1. You got to make two more really good decisions than you do bad decisions, or have things tipped and go against you overall. But when it comes to touchdowns, quarterbacks throwing touchdowns is not the most important thing. Now, it should be pointed out, Roethlisberger had 17 touchdown passes in both of his Super Bowl seasons. He had an outstanding defense. Brad Johnson had 22. That's the next lowest. He had an outstanding defense. Now, if you can play defense, you ask your quarterbacks to win less for you. The two guys that had the best years, Brees with 34 touchdowns, Manning with 31, were clearly offensive-minded football teams. Defensively, they were ranked in the 20s. They needed the quarterback to reach above and make bigger plays. If the Chiefs don't get better defensively or only get a little bit better, and you want to talk about how far is this team from being in the Super Bowl, it's going to need a 30-plus touchdown performance from Matt Castle. I don't know if he's capable of that. I think 30 is probably the ceiling on what he can do. Interceptions, again, you don't want to make mistakes. Brees had the 34 TDs, only turned it over 11 times. In fact, the guy who stands out is Eli Manning with 20 interceptions, and he was incredible in the postseason. But in the regular season, he's the only quarterback ever to throw for 20 interceptions in a season or more and actually win the Super Bowl. That was supposed to be an Achilles heel. He corrected it in the postseason. He only had one turnover on a tip ball in the entire postseason. Eli Manning played much better and took care of the football much better. And down the stretch, his interceptions dropped over his last three games of the regular season as well. He just played better football. But 2-1, 24-12 is what you've got to have to be effective. All right, now, how does this compare to what Matt Castle has done in his career as a quarterback? Let's start last year with the Kansas City Chiefs. Percentage, completion percentage, 55%, 7% below where he needs to be. And the high water mark on that was Drew Brees at 71% last year. The low water mark was 56% by Eli Manning. Again, as we said, he played much better in the playoffs, But for the regular season, 56%. 55% last year for Matt Cassel. It takes 62% for the average. Hey, the Chiefs probably led the world in drop passes last year. That might be, you might be able to get that number to the average if they just don't drop as many footballs as they dropped last year. And in fact, if you go to his 2008 season with a better football team around him, when he quarterbacked the Pats to a 10-5 record, when he was a starter, 11-5 overall, he completed 63% of his passes, 63.4 to be exact. So it's clear he's got the completion percentage, the ability to complete a high enough percentage of passes to be a Super Bowl quarterback. TDs and interceptions, 16-16 last year for the Chiefs. That's 8 below where you need to be on average as far as a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and 4 interceptions above where you want to be. He's got to make better decisions. Fewer interceptions. There are only a couple of them that I would call just absolute what were you thinking interceptions. He's got to get rid of those. And then he's got to get a little more help from his receivers. Probably if you play the game from in front, if the defense plays better, he's not having to fight to come back. You get a chance to not have to gamble and go for it as much in trying to bring a team back, which the Chiefs were down a lot in having a 4-11 record under Matt Cassel, 4-12 overall. But TD to INT, clearly some improvements got to be made. He's got to make more plays in the end zone. He's got to eliminate interceptions. How'd he do with the better team around him in New England in 2008? 21-11, right on pace, right there at 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. That's better touchdowns than Roethlisberger had either one of his Super Bowl winning years. And it's less interceptions, the same as Drew Brees had last year, less than Roethlisberger had in 2008. Eli Manning by a lot less, and less than Tom Brady had both of his Super Bowl years in 03 and 04. So the ability is clearly there. He's shown it on the football field when he had the team around him. But if there's one spot that stands out that just jumps at you in the face and you say, okay, he's got to get better. Matt Cassel's got to get better. It's in giving up the sacks. Now, obviously, the offensive line plays a role, and last year the Chiefs gave up 45 sacks overall. 3 of them were sacking Brody Croyle in the Baltimore game. So 42 sacks on Matt Cassel, but only 8 in the last 6 games. They got much better down the stretch of protecting the quarterback, and perhaps Matt Cassel got much better in getting rid of the ball. The average Super Bowl-winning quarterback is sacked only 26 times. For 5% of his pass attempts. Matt Cassel sacked 42 times last year, 8% of his pass attempts. In 2008 for the Patriots, 47 times he was sacked, again for 8% of the times that he dropped back to pass. He's got to continue to get better. Yes, the offensive line's got to get better on him. Yes, the receivers have got to get better at not dropping balls. When you don't get the yardage that could have easily been had, it just blows up in your face time and time again. But Matt Cassel has to make better decisions. You don't want to strip him of the ability to make plays with his legs because he is a good runner. When things break down, if he can get yardage, if he can get a first down with his legs, you certainly want him to do it. But maybe you give up a couple of first downs in an effort to get rid of the football and not take as many sacks. He's going to have to get rid of the ball and throw it away if nothing's there. At the sacrifice of making a few plays with his legs, but the maturation of Matt Cassel, the biggest thing that I see here on Matt Cassel on where it's got to definitively get better is he's got to get better at not taking the sack. That's the one thing that jumps out as a big red line. We'll talk quarterbacking with Brody Croyle. He's next in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. Community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep
left to the fullback. And a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com on a rainy Wednesday, as it has turned out to be today. We're going to talk right now with Chiefs quarterback Brody Croyle. Brody, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. And I know you guys just got back from a great trip down to Whiteman Air Force Base, which I have made that trip down there. I don't know if I got the kind of access that you got, but any trip down there, if you get a chance, people should go do it. It is an unbelievable experience. What all did you get to do down there at Whiteman when you guys went down there to visit?
It was really awesome, man. We got to visit with all the families down there and really just got to share with them how much we appreciated them. They're always cheering us on and, trying to make the Chiefs a better place to play. And we were just going down there and, kind of returning the favor.
I hate to, maybe burst your bubble. I have one autographed photo in my office right now. Would you care to guess what that one autographed photo is?
I'm going to go with Len Dawson.
Not a bad guess. Very good guess. But actually, no. It is a photograph of the B-2 in flight with the four guys that fly that plane autographing the picture. It's pretty cool, right?
That is an awesome autograph to have. That thing was unbelievable. They kind of gave us a little rundown on it, and it you really don't. When you see it just flying, you don't really understand how big it is and how impressive it is to get right up on it.
Yeah, it is a very big plane and unbelievable, the technology and the guys that fly it. Every mission starts from right there. I mean, that's one of the things people don't, stop to think. I think it's been pretty well publicized, but I don't know if everyone realizes. I mean, that thing flies missions all over the world, and it leaves. It takes off. The only place ever that its wheels touch down are in the state of Missouri at Whiteman Air Force Base. Its wheels never hit down anywhere else.
With no toilet.
Yeah,
30-hour trip with no bathroom, man.
The men who fly it do a great job, and of course, great folks who keep watch on our country. And great that you guys went down there. Did you also get to see the A-10s? I heard.
Say what now?
Did you also get to see the A-10 Warthogs as well?
We did. We got to see. They had everything out there. And it was really something special, man. It was a fun trip. It was fun getting to see all men and women that protect our country.
The guys going down to a Whiteman Air Force Base. If you want to learn more, you can go to the website, returnthefavor.org. That's returnthefavor.org. And you can learn more about helping out our veterans who stand watch on this country and could use our help. So check it out, please, if you would. You're clearly computer literate if you're listening to us here on the Red Zone. So check it out, returnthefavor.org. And you can get some great information on our military veterans. Brody, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with you guys in OTAs and looking ahead to the season. First of all,
How would you describe it? You guys went over an overhaul of the offense the week before the season started last year. It's not last minute like that was last year. You're getting the entire OTAs to get things together. But let's before we go back to that, let's talk about how different it is. Is there really a big difference between Todd Haley and Charlie Weiss, or is it really just kind of tinkering a little bit?
It's really, you know, more than tinkering. Obviously, you know, everybody calls the game different. Everybody kind of has their own nuances. But Charlie and Ty were together, you know, for so long that, you know, they have a lot of the same ideas and same terminology. So we're just going to build on what we got going last year.
What was your reaction when you heard Charlie Weiss was being hired as the OC?
I was excited. You know, obviously his resume speaks for itself. And, you know, anybody that's going to help the Chiefs is obviously – you know, what we need, and he, I think he's obviously going to do that. You know, I mean, we're all very confident in the offense he's bringing and in him. I mean, he's, as I said, his resume speaks for itself.
Do you, how much does getting him in and having the you know, whatever tweaks they're going to be, having the entire OTA period and then on into training camp, the full training camp, how much further ahead will this offense be than, say, last year's was with that last-minute switch?
You know, I mean, as I said, you know, we're just going to be able to build on the things we did last year. But, you know, with every practice you have, you get much more comfortable. So, you know, having the OTAs and the mini camp kind of under your belt before you even go to training camp, you know, that's, what is it, 15, 18 extra practices. So, you know, that'll obviously help us.
You know, Tim Grunhardt told me once the most important thing you've got in practice is repetitions. I mean, there are only so many reps you get, and if they're, you know, if you don't get to apply them all in a manner that helps you win, it really sets you back. You agree that you know, the repetitions are the most important thing, getting a chance to get out on the field and at least run through it on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you can see things on film, you can see things on paper, but until you get to rep it and see it through your own eyes and, you know, kind of see how things look full speed, you know, that's when you start kind of to grasp it. And, you know, these OTAs and mini camps will help us out going into training camp.
The team headed into training camp, a big deal was how much weight the team was losing throughout the OTAs and training camp last year. I assume, at least the reports are, that everybody came in much better shape. How much easier does that make it for everybody to get to work or get extra work in when the team is physically where you want it to be to start the process?
You know, as you said, you know, everybody came back in good shape, and you know, we've been working really hard this offseason. And, you know, I mean, it's just given us a chance, as opposed to worrying about losing weight, getting in shape, giving us more of a chance to worry about, you know, the offense and the defense and getting to know everybody new and, you know, really becoming a better team, as opposed to worrying about weight issues.
The and that's been a problem for you, right? Getting down, getting to the right weights.
I think I was the only one that they said, we want you to gain weight. But, We're actually up to 215 now, so.
Oh, come on.
That'll help.
Come on, really?
Man, we're going to have like some sort of wager on that.
Because you just, I mean, now, look, I haven't seen you for a while, so could be. You're saying you're a solid, you're a rock hard 215 now.
Come on now, rock hard. Don't get carried away now.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
you know, that was just something that, you know, we had decided, you know, something that we thought that would help me, you know, with injuries and, you know, just being able to stand hits and stuff. So it was something that I really put a lot of emphasis on, and it was something our team has put a lot of emphasis on, is getting stronger.
You know, we were going over some of the stats about the average Super Bowl winning quarterback, just breaking down his stats 2002 to 2009, kind of putting them all into a group and then coming up with what the average is. And you might be surprised. You want to know what the average Super Bowl quarterback, you know, what his numbers look like from 02 to 09?
I would like to know.
62% completions, 3,521 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and then they only give up 26 sacks. They're sacked on average 26 times. And five of the eight played 16 games. Drew Brees was kind of an anomaly in the sense that he played 15, but they benched him at the end just to keep him healthy because their position in the playoffs was set. So you could say that, that six of the eight were able to play six games. The other two, Roethlisberger played 12 his second year in the league, and then 13 from Brad Johnson with the Bucks in 02. Clearly keeping quarterbacks healthy is a big part of having success. One of the major ways you stay healthy is not getting sacked. I'm curious from your standpoint, because we focused on that, that you know, last year the Chiefs quarterbacks, you and Matt Castle, were sacked 45 times. That number was 26, was the average. How much of that is, you know, certainly the offensive line plays a role, but everyone focuses on just the offensive line. The backs, the tight ends, they have to pick up their blitz reads, but the quarterback has to get rid of the ball as well. How much of, you know, do you think the sack process is on the shoulders of the quarterback more so than say, the offensive line?
You know, I think it's on all of us. You know, obviously we have to go up there and make the right call and get everybody going in the right direction. And, you know, everybody has to understand their, you know, their role from there. You know, who they're blocking, who they're on. And then it's just a matter of just one-on-one matchups, just a matter of winning all those that you can. But at the same time, you know, it's got to be on us to get rid of the ball quicker. You know, if it requires throwing the ball away or, you know, taking a shorter route opposed to trying to get greedy on it. You know, I mean, there's a whole lot that goes into, you know, that stat you just read off. You know, I think that speaks volumes. You know, those guys to get rid of the ball and, you know, stay away from sacks, obviously, are healthy. And usually when you have a healthy quarterback the whole year, good things happen.
We're talking to Brody Croyle here in the Red Zone. Brody, how about all the additions this team's made? You got to feel pretty good about the draft and the veterans that are brought in, weapons on the offense, more depth along the offensive line. I would think that you know, you feel like it's time for this team to start winning.
We do. You know, we're very excited about everything that was done this off season, and we're excited about getting the season started and you know, finding out where we're at. But you know, we feel very good about it.
I hear a lot of people, you know, it seems like when you have, you know, struggles like the Chiefs have had the last couple of years, everyone starts to make that, you know, well, if we can get to 8-8, you know, that everyone, I think fans are conditioned that, you know, we've had tough years, so let's just get to 8-8. As I look at your schedule, and not to take any shots, and, you know, it's based on what the teams did last year, and we'll see that, you know, some teams might be a lot better. All the teams might be a lot better that are on your schedule. They all might be a lot worse. You just got to line up and play it. But, you know, as far as having the mindset, you know, fans of, boy, if we could just get to 500, that'd be a great step in the right direction. History tells us teams go from 4-12 to 12-4. They can make that jump from 4-12 to 10-6. Is the mindset of this team that we need to play 500 football, or no? Is there a belief that this team success is only measured by getting to the playoffs?
You know, that's obviously the main goal: make the playoffs and then just be hot when you get there. You know, you can ask anybody on that team. Nobody's shooting for a 500 season saying, yeah, well, we improved. You know, that isn't what this business is about. That isn't what this league's about. And that isn't what the Kansas City Chiefs want to be about. So, you know, that isn't our mindset. And, you know, we're not going to put a number on it. We just want to be a lot better than we were last year. And, as you said, try to make the playoffs and then try to make a run from there.
All right, Brody, let's get to our final four quickies. You've been through this before, and we'll start with this. I'm sure you did. I'm sure you lay awake at night wondering when you're going to get a chance to go through these. Will Alabama go back-to-back?
Will Alabama go back-to-back?
Back-to-back national
titles. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Was that one of them?
Yeah, that was the first one.
Oh.
But I mean, do you believe that?
I thought that was like a given.
Do you believe that, or is that just what every Alabama fan says?
Both.
Okay, that's what I figured as much. There was some good talent lost from that team. One of the guys you're playing with, you know.
I know. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, the kid was one of the biggest playmakers in all of college football, and nice to see Javier Arenas be a part of the Chiefs. All right, are you looking forward to getting to St. Joe in training camp?
We are, you know, getting to stay closer to home and getting to be closer to a lot more Chiefs fans. You know, we're all looking forward to that.
Okay. Should be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a huge turnout up there this year. All right. What goes through your mind when you're watching the playoffs, and in particular, when you watch Drew Brees and Peyton Manning square off in the Super Bowl? Is there being a guy who does what they do, do you sit there? Do you take notes? Is your jaw on the floor? Do you look at it? I mean, how do you view when those two guys squared off in the Super Bowl? What were the thoughts in your mind?
It's two of the best in our league, two of the best that have you know, when it's all said and done, I think it'll be two of the best that have ever played. And, you know, I mean, it's as a younger quarterback, guys trying to get to their level, you know, that's it was just fun to watch, man. Both those guys are unbelievable.
But you didn't mind the Volunteer losing?
Come on, man.
Well, I just didn't know if the ties run that deep that it was, you know, let's root for the Purdue kid against the Tennessee kid. I didn't know how much that played into it.
It wasn't quite that deep. I just enjoyed the game.
All right, very good.
That's a good politically correct answer.
Yeah, that's a very good answer. And finally, and this would be the most important one. Have you been on any good hunting or fishing trips here of late?
That's pretty good. Duck hunts in Mississippi in January, but we had a pretty good turkey season here in Kansas and Missouri. So I'm actually pulling into Cabela's right now, so that'll tell you.
so we know what's
it never ends.
Yes,
it never ends.
We know what you've got planned, what you've got on your mind. Well, we'll let you get in there and buy whatever you need. Brody, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again later on.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
In today's hectic world, it's hard enough to find time to manage all your commitments and still find time to pursue a higher education. But at Columbia College, we make it easier. Classes are just 8 weeks long, and you can earn your associate, bachelor's, or master's degree on campus, online, or both. Apply now to Columbia College in Kansas City at www.ccis.edu/about-time. That's www.ccis.edu/about-time.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web to buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in red-hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back here in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you. Wrapping things up here on a Wednesday. I want to thank Johnny Franks from WUMP in Huntsville, Alabama, for breaking down Javi Arenas and Cameron Sheffield with us. And then, of course, the pride of the Crimson Tide, Brody Croyle, joining us here in the Red Zone. I want to thank him as well. Remember, you can get your Chiefs tickets. The season is just around the corner. I love the schedule. I love the way it sets up, and you're going to love the new Arrowhead. You can get your tickets by calling 888-99-CHIEFS. That's 888-99-CHIEFS, which translates to 888-992-4433. So for Curtis Siebold, Brad Young, and Adam Pellegrino, this is Soren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to the Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.